Yep. Hello.
Afternoon, I am Brother Kelly Hughes, Chaplain of the Arts, and broadcasting live from the Ivory Tower, CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, also CKUW.ca, worldwide, and in space. It is 1:03 p.m. Thank you very much to whoever that was doing whatever he was doing. You have got me for the next 57 minutes. It is Fringe Pirate Radio doing 22 hours this year. This is our, I don't know what. It is going to tell you what the temperature is because that's the thing I'm supposed to do. It is hot again, maybe 24 clear. It's going to go up to 27 or something. So it is warm and sunny. And we are on day two of the Winnipeg International Fringe Theatre Festival. I am here with my guests. My guests are Tamlin Bryson.
Hello.
The crowd goes wild. Rod Peter Jr.
Hello, hello.
Crowd goes a little less wild. And Veronica Turnipolsky.
Hello.
Oh, and I don't have her mic on. So there's no wild. Hang on. Try again.
Hello.
Whoa, there we go.
Hello.
There we go.
Ooh.
These folks are all Fringe Fest vets, Tamlin and Rod Peter Jr., RPJ. Does anybody call you RPJ?
Yeah, a few people at home.
Nice. They are doing Escape from Winnipeg, which is what it sounds like. They're going to tell you about it in a minute. Veronica is doing the Get Laid show.
Or a date, definitely a high five.
What? What?
The asterisk or a date, definitely a high five.
Lots of good options.
Oh, I couldn't. It's so
it's tiny. It's tiny.
It's sneaky. The light is not very good in here, and I got bifocals, and it's hard to, like, you know, I don't know. Does anybody here wear glasses?
Yes.
I have laser eyes.
Really?
Ooh, pew, 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 pew.
pew, 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 pew.
Ow.
When did you get that done?
A while ago. I think almost 10 years ago now.
Yeah? How'd it go?
I love it, other than at night, lights do the starburst thing.
Oh.
So driving at night's a little trickier.
Oh, but,
And this Fringe Radio is brought to you by LASIK-MD. LASIK-MD, ladies and gentlemen.
Is it question? Other, did you laser eyes because you didn't want to be a nerd? Were you just like, was this like one of those romantic comedy bits where you're like, oh, no one will love me with these glasses and my bony tail?
I actually wanted to be less hot. I was actually so hot with glasses. I had that like sexy librarian thing going on. And I was like, got to give other people a chance, you know?
That's fair. That is fair.
And generous. That's generous, too.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm a good person. What can I say?
I'm sure they appreciate it. Has anybody had a show yet?
We opened last night.
How'd it go?
It was good. It was a lot of fun. You know, it was a 9:45 open. But
Wednesday 9:45. That's sweet.
Yeah, that's prime time, baby. but yeah, it was good and solid, and I'm excited to keep doing it for more and more people.
Veronica, have you had a show, or do you open today?
I open tonight, Duke of Kent Legion, 8:30 p.m.
Duke of Kent Legion. Veronica, tell us about the show.
Yeah, okay, the Get Laid Show. Where do you go to meet people? Are you sick of online dating and dating apps? You come to, the Duke of Kent Legion. It's a light interactive because people are scared of interactive shows, but this is a light one. Come hear stories about me getting laid to help you get laid.
Will it work?
Yes. But I can't legally state that anyone will be getting laid at the Duke of Kent Legion, hence the asterisk. So, or a date, definitely high five. So definitely high five to everybody. But
it's pretty small in there. Is there a good place to have sex in there? Like basically just the bathroom or where they keep the kegs, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Or come to the show and find out what nooks and crannies you can use.
Nice.
Tamlin, have you ever had sex in a Legion?
Oh, wow, we're going right into it. I can't say that I have, but my character, Snake Plissken, in the show, I'm sure has, or has at least tried and struck out.
Is this now, so Escape from Winnipeg is a version of Escape from New York. It's, right, you're Snake Plissken. Is that you on the thing?
That is me in the eye patch and the beard.
You have such a good scowl.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. Yeah. I know I sound lovely now, but I'm actually can be very scary. It's a spoof of Escape from New York and a lot of other action movies of the 70s and 80s and a little bit beyond of the kind of style of that. It's a lot of the fun of how do you put a big budget or sometimes low budget action movie on stage, and also, you know, subtly critiquing toxic masculinity and a few issues of the current year as well.
So you're against toxic masculinity?
Or
they'll have to pay the money. You have to pay the money to find out.
I'm neutral.
Honestly,
are you neutral?
I was trying to think of a funny response. yes, Rod and I are against toxic masculinity. Snake Plissken in the show would probably reject that term even means anything.
Yeah, he wouldn't. I mean, Snake Plissken's everywhere don't identify as being toxic males, right?
So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, they think that they're the alpha males of the world and that everything is owed to them. So that's kind of the show, too, is analyzing in a fun, very silly way how a lot of the times in these movies the heroes or what we perceive to be the heroes are also very problematic as well. And so why are we clapping for them? Why are we cheering for these people who walk around blowing things up and doing whatever they want and however they want? But doing that in like a very silly way with like shadow puppetry and puppets and dance offs and very lo-fi stuff.
Well, this is very topical. Because, you know, I mean, we still have toxic masculinity, right?
Yep, that's the thing. It's interesting, I think, how much for a show that's spoofing styles of 70s, 80s, a little bit of 90s, how much we work in spoofing the present. Mm-hmm. we work a few quips in about some current political issues. But yeah, like Rod said, but also shadow puppetry, also fighting each other, also raunchy puppet stuff.
Oh,
ooh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. like the puppets in Team America World Police, like that?
I would say think a full, like a 3-foot puppet that we made, and Tamlin as Snake, the male character, seduces a female puppet.
Nice.
And gets very naughty with them, and it's far more raunchy than you could ever imagine.
More raunchy than Ronnie Burkett?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes. You'll write home about it.
Wow. And might I say, very physically impressive as well.
Yes, we won. We won best. We won. Here's the thing.
This
here's the tidbit.
Very, yeah.
We won best physical performance at the Ottawa Fringe.
Wow.
And to put that in perspective, there was a Cirque du Soleil-esque aerial show, and we beat them.
Yeah.
So because of how much we sweat. And
wow.
Yeah. Most athletic performance right here. Lap dances and fights and motorcycle chases and, yeah, everything you could ever need in an hour of fun.
Wow, that's amazing. Are the motorcycles also 3 feet tall?
They're absolutely 100% real motorcycles. They are real, actual motorcycles on stage. They are definitely not chairs that we borrowed from the theater.
Vroom, vroom.
Vroom, 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 indeed.
So much production value.
Yeah.
Veronica, what do you think about that? Does that sound exciting?
That sounds super exciting.
What do you
I'm all about chair motorcycles
and,
yeah. And vrooming.
And
vroom,
sounds like
vrooming.
We're both about getting laid. So.
Oh, yes,
sex,
yes.
And
yeah.
Sex with puppets.
Sex with puppets.
Warning. Do you have a warning? Warning content, warning puppet sex?
I
just,
don't know.
Just sexual content. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't give it all away.
I remember somebody, does anybody know Wendy Winaz?
She
was here a few years ago, and she was doing the, what do you call that? Not flyering. What do you do it when you go in the line and...
Yeah, flyering.
Flyering.
Yeah.
So she was flyering, and I was standing in line. She said, she came up to me, and she goes, hi, I'm doing this show, blah, blah, blah. Do you like sexy clowns? And I'm like, no, I really don't. But there were some, I ended up going, so I think, I don't remember why I ended up going, but, you know, I guess I was thinking, like, you know that you can, if you Google sexy Ronald McDonald costume, just do that sometime.
Yeah.
And see what you get. The internet is full of amazing and horrifying things.
Oh, I can imagine. I did a show a few years ago called Bedwetter, which is the true story of how I wet the bed until I was 14 years old. And I got some interesting DMs of people asking for diapers from my show, people sending me videos of themselves peeing into diapers.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, like, not to shame fetish content, do what you want, but also don't send it unsolicited to people who are talking about their childhood.
Yeah, that's not okay.
Yeah.
But
no one's hit on me in this show yet, though.
No.
Wait.
Where are the eye patch fetishes? They gotta be out there, the beard fetishes.
But it is interesting because there's so many great and interesting, the internet is very useful, and there's a lot of despite your boyfriend who's afraid of the internet,
just social media, not the internet.
It is very useful, you know, for finding out all kinds of things and for finding other people, other weird people that are like you, but then you're also exposed to other weird people that are not like you, which is I on Facebook, I've blocked like 200 people.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm like, I can't, you know, deal with, like, just, I'm crazy and all my friends are crazy. I'm bipolar. I'm ADHD. But there's a certain kind of, like,
extremism of crazy and weird.
Yeah,
the unhinged
kind of that I can't deal with. And every once in a while I stumble upon it on social media. And I'm like, you know, or even like, I drove by this truck yesterday and the truck was all, had a whole full wrap on it. And it's all this stuff like Freedom Convoy,
oh, yeah.
Fuck Trudeau, CBC and CTV are being paid to brainwash you. All this stuff, the whole truck. And then he had a big flag coming out of the back. And I'm just like, when he goes to his in-laws for supper, do they make him park the truck down the street? Or are they on board? Like, because it's just so bonkers, you know?
Or, like, how many Fringe shows could have been made off the budget of that rap and flag itself?
Yeah,
you're
absolutely.
Like, duh!
Yeah, it's interesting when someone be like, yeah, I hate Trudeau, and you kind of have to be like, why? Which really? Like,
yeah.
Because he's not left enough, or because you think he's a... creating COVID in a lab? Yeah.
Yeah.
So Biden got COVID yesterday.
Oh, and, I haven't heard.
Yeah, he was diagnosed with mild symptoms, you know, upper respiratory, this. One of the things that he's been diagnosed with is general malaise, which explains his general...
Finally, he's been diagnosed officially. He's been going around
That's what you call that, yeah.
Wow, okay.
So I haven't looked at the news today. I don't know if he's dropped out in favor of somebody else. I was watching
It was a setup for sure.
I rewatched Deep Impact yesterday, and you remember that movie and Morgan Freeman is the president? And I was thinking, like, Morgan Freeman, he'd be perfect to jump in there, right? He's got name recognition. He's done some creepy things with women and, you know, had a few little bit kind of suspicious stuff like that. And he's 87. I mean, he's perfect. Like, yeah, he's the guy. He's the guy that we want for the next 8 years.
Yeah, I think we need someone older, honestly.
Can we get, like, Dick Van Dyke? Is he still
Dick Van Dyke? He is, yeah. He is.
You know?
He is. Yeah. Honestly, though, Dick Van Dyke would be better than Biden because he's more with it. He's what is he, 100?
No, I think Dick Van Dyke, I think 99? He's passed away. I don't think.
Dick Van Dyke has died? Can we check that out?
Whatever. Just put Mel Brooks in, you know? He'll fix it all.
I wanted to, like,
99.
Just Weekend at Bernie's. It'll be fine.
I was pretending to shout off to the side like somebody in production would. There's no production here, but you know that
searching. He's dead.
The show is there's two shows. One of them is Escape from Winnipeg. Tamlin Bryson and Rod Peter Jr. That is on tonight at 8:15 at MTYP main stage. Nice big stage over there. And can kids come?
No. We've rated it parental guidance. I would say teens, it's fine. Okay. There is language and sexual content.
Okay. Oh, right. The puppet fucking, right?
Yeah there's some puppet fucking.
And then they get...
Puppet fucking.
The Get Laid or Die Trying show. And that is tonight at 8:30 at the Duke of Kent Legion. That is Veronica Ternopolsky. So you're going to have to pick one tonight. You can't go to both.
Mine
tonight.
Has booze.
Yeah,
sorry.
But you could buy tickets to both. We don't care.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't have to show up to both. You just buy tickets to both. That's all I really care about.
No, we need to compete. Artists don't compete enough. We need to tear each other down. We're going to have a battle royale right now over this slot.
I mean,
tonight.
We are, I think, probably the farthest almost venues from each other.
There
is
you go.
Right?
So there...
No, CCFM.
No,
is,
CCFM would be farther. Yeah.
And then, so, you know, yeah. So CCFM to Asper Center, that would be the farthest. Mm. And we've got the Asper over here, and it's nice, but it's a little bit, it's a little bit off the beaten track.
But yeah, if you're drinking at the Forks, go check out Escape from Winnipeg. And if you're drinking at the Cube, come drink at the Legion.
If you're drinking at the Legion, just stay there.
Just stay there.
Yeah.
Who else is at the Legion this year? Is it like Improvision and
Improvision
all the usual?
Improvision are my venue buddies. Yeah. They have a show tonight at 7 o'clock.
Is there somebody else there or just you two?
Us two, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
there's only 50 people so that could sit in that venue. So get your tickets quickly.
And you're doing how many shows? 11?
11, yeah. Both of us are doing 11 shows.
That's exciting.
11 chances to get laid or date. Definitely high five.
Definitely high five.
That's a BYOV, and you guys have 7 shows because you're in a regular venue.
No, we're BYOV as well, but we have 8. 7 more.
Oh, okay.
But we did
okay.
It's funny that both of our shows have to do with getting laid a little bit and high fives,
yeah.
I will say.
How many high fives are in your show?
I can't give everything away, okay. Kelly.
You
come on.
Come to the show. You got to buy a ticket. But look, we're just... Oh, yeah. There's so many happening here right now.
What is going on?
Yeah.
I don't like that. What is that? Oh, she's high-fiving. Oh. Didn't like the sound of that. I might turn her mic off. what do you guys want to see?
Ooh, I'm excited to see Sean O'Hara's new show. Brad Gooseberry... what is it called? Field Zoology 301, Myths and Monsters. I'm excited to see that. My fiance has a show called Kicked in the End, a magic show, which he'll be on another time promoting his show, but it's fabulous. I'm excited for people to see it.
Shunga Alert at Venue 8, I believe. That's a sexy sex, Japanese sexy sex show, whoa. I believe. Anime sexiness.
Is it sexy, though?
Yes.
Nice.
Is there a vending machine with used underwear in it?
Well, we can't give everything away.
Not that Japanese. Okay.
And then Shadow Necropolis also, I think, will be amazing. Yeah. How about, Mom's is gonna kick butt at PTE.
Ooh.
How about Commando the musical? Does anybody know anything
so
about that?
So good.
I flyered the lineup yesterday with people coming out. People seem to enjoy it. They did go over by 15 minutes. So.
Oh.
Ooh. Yeah. I was there. You actually flyered me. So
get your shit together.
I saw it as eight minutes over.
Tamlin's crying over here. I mean, there's like, you know, there's not that many things that are really bad at Fringe, but going 15 minutes over is definitely one of them.
There's that competition we were talking about.
I did my opening night last year go over by 7 minutes and felt really awful, but never did it happen again. I got a clock in the wings and cut some stuff and undertime every time.
And your show's running right on time, yeah?
Oh, yeah. We're usually, like, at least 5 minutes under, so it's nice. You have time to come and say hi to us if you want. We have time to mingle with the crowd. We have some merch that we sell.
People can get your email address for those videos.
That's it. That's it.
Probably.
It's been a couple of years since I've gotten diaper videos.
The eye patch videos are coming right now.
How do you feel that you would make more money doing an OnlyFans for peeing in diapers than you are doing theater? How does that feel?
I mean,
does it feel wrong?
I don't know. I mean, sex work is real work, and that is great. Again, I'm not against fetish content. I think it's just weird to send someone you don't know 10 videos in a row of you peeing when they're just doing a theater show about incontinence.
I had this terrible, a couple of weeks ago, some person that I have 4,200 friends or something on Facebook. So some person I was friends with on Facebook, but didn't know, apparently, accused me of sending them a video of myself doing something not great.
Oh.
And then it kind of blew up into this thing, and I was like, what is happening? And then I was getting messages, and there were people posting about me, and it lasted for about 24 hours, and we managed to sort it out in that anybody that asked this person, you know, could you send me a video or what's going on or whatever, anybody got blocked. So it kind of turned into nothing. It was just some crazy weird thing that was nothing. But I'm definitely on.
They came with no receipts.
I was going to ask, did you just start charging people and then it worked itself out? You just added a paywall and everything was okay?
Yeah. No, that was just very, like, you know.
Not cool.
It was very upsetting. But I definitely know that you're not supposed to send in somebody anything that they don't want. Right?
Consent is sexy.
Yeah.
Consent is sexy. Snake Plissken doesn't quite get that, I don't think. But he's on his way.
Does he learn throughout the 55 minutes?
He learns things. Does he learn the right lessons?
I think the question is, does he learn things and does he believe those things and then follow through with those things or throw them to the side like every action hero before him?
Veronica, you're doing a one-person show.
Yes. Solo.
How many solo shows have you done?
I've not done a Fringe solo show. I've tried stand-up. Tried. That
yeah,
was a
tried.
Thing.
You're really selling
I've
that.
Done,
eh?
I know. Well, I did stand up in the local open mic scene 2 times. I tried Winnipeg's Funniest Person, the day job. I made it through to the second round once, so that's fun. But yeah, I've done like 20 different shows with the Fringe.
With people, yeah.
With other people, yes.
Yeah. So are you nervous about being up there all by yourself in front of those 50 people sitting in there and drinking in the...
No, not at all. I'm 100% confident, like every other Fringe performer, the day before they're about to do their first ever solo Fringe show.
Nerves never matter. No idea what those are.
Puddle of Veronica in the chair here in the studio.
Anybody ever throw up before you go out?
Oh, I know people who have. I haven't myself.
I almost threw up on stage in Ottawa, but that was because I was losing my voice and I had been taking a lot of lozenges and realized you shouldn't do that without eating a lot.
Oh.
And that it's a very physical show. And there's a point near the end where Rod and I are like looking into each other's eyes and I was kind of just like, and I see Rod like clock it in my eyes. And I was like, oh, sorry. I like passed it off as if I just like swallowed some spit or something that I was like, oh, I almost threw up. He's like, yeah, I could tell. But no, not nerves related.
Pre-show poops is a thing.
Oh,
right?
100%.
Pre-show poops? Yeah, 100%.
If you threw up on Rod in the middle of the show, would that make it better or worse?
Worse. Yeah.
Well, worse for Rod.
You're going to get all the DMs now. Eye patches, wedding, vomit play. This is great.
Vomit play.
Yeah, it was at least, it was in the last, like, 3 minutes of the show, but I don't know how well an audience would respond to seeing actual vomit on stage. It might be a, is it Stand By Me that happens where they, everyone starts vomiting?
I think so. Anyway. It was definitely an SNL skit, an amazing SNL skit.
Yeah, and a scene from The Office. Yeah. Anyway, I won't vomit, I promise.
No puking, no puking. No lozenges were harmed in the making of Escape from Winnipeg. When you do this somewhere else, like when you did in Ottawa, it's Escape from Ottawa, I presume?
Yes, yeah. The title changes to, everywhere we go.
Not to give away your craft, your craft secrets. Escape from Winnipeg is tonight at 8:15 at MTYP. Hey, that's right. Yeah, little pee joke there. MTYP.
I really regret bringing up this diaper.
Sorry, I'm ADHD and I get a little bit, you know, I latch on to certain things that are maybe not the right things. And then Veronica is doing the Get Laid or Die Trying show at Duke of Kent Legion. Sorry, I'm just keep saying that because I still can't read the
Get, it's the Get Laid asterisk show, which the asterisk meaning or a date, definitely a high five. So it's the Get Laid or a date, definitely a high five show.
Well, that sure rolls off the tongue. And that is tonight at 8:30 at the Duke of Kent Legion. There's alcohol there. Probably no alcohol at MTYP because it's a children's theater.
Correct. But there is a bunch of stuff across the street at the Forks Market.
Yeah.
I got a London Fog yesterday before the show and it was delicious.
I don't think those are alcohol.
And there's parking.
And parking.
Oh, yeah. Winnipeggers, forget alcohol. Winnipeggers love parking. thank you all so much. I'm going to take us out and we're going to hose down the studio and get some other people in here. But we're going to play, are going to play a song. And the song that I'm going to play is, I'm very excited to tell you, is a remix of the Escape from New York theme.
Ooh.
That I dig. So thank you very much, Tamlin.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you very much, RPJ.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Veronica.
Bow, 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 bow. Thank you.
Here we go. This is Escape from New York. We'll be back in a minute. We'll be right back. And that is a remix of Escape from New York, John Carpenter. Thank you very much to Veronica and Tamlin and Rod Peter Jr. I am Kelly Hughes. This is the Ivory Tower, CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. It is 1:30 and it is Fringe time, and I'm turning on a couple more guests here. I'm turning their mics on anyway. I'm not sure if I'm going to turn them on.
Well,
John,
both, right?
John Patterson, Rob G.
Hello.
The crowd goes wild. Woo!
Yeah, it's us.
Rock on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So hey, great to see you guys.
Good to see you.
Have you had a show yet?
We have. We opened yesterday at the King's Head. It was joyous. It was sold out. It was a party, and it was a happy time all around, wasn't it? That's in my head. I can't speak for anyone else in the room.
Oh, yeah, it was beautiful. King's Head is such a, you know, it's always rocking. Yeah, we've been doing so great so far at King's Head, and just love it there, yeah.
The show is AWOL. It's about a couple of old oldsters who escaped to party on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's basically, it's two old men escape from a care home and go to a metal festival.
Yeah, that's so basically
that's
the premise.
That's,
yeah,
that's what happens.
I mean, you can't explain it too much more than just that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a chase. It's sort of like a buddy movie chase, yeah, adventure caper.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Rob doesn't have to wear makeup or anything, but how do you make yourself look young, John?
I love it.
It's true. No, they're right. They put me through the aging app for the poster, and it made me look slightly younger.
I use like white makeup, and I use a little bit of like, what you call it, makeup, like a pencil, eye pencil or whatever.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm getting old, so whatever. We also play like a bunch of different characters, and so I play Lily, which is Cyril's granddaughter, and I play Rob plays a stoner orderly from the care home. I play Belinda, the nurse,
the evil warder type.
Oh, so we're playing a bunch of different characters. So we have to sort of be kind of generic. Although our main costume, I wear a little bow tie. So we are dressed as old men.
How much of it is in the nursing home?
So the whole show happens in three acts. Yeah. Act one is the home. So about a third of it. Act two is the journey. Because these things are more about the journey than the destination.
Right.
And then act three is the festival itself, where it all just goes off.
The heavy metal was inside of us all along.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
you know,
sure.
And the whole thing also is written as a love letter to metalheads. Really, because I mean, I grew up in quite a small town in the UK, and I grew up on punk rock. But if you're into punk or goth or metal or any what you'd call hard music, yeah, you all went to the same places because it wasn't a big town.
Yeah.
I've always had a soft spot for metalheads. Yeah. The idea came from a news item from Germany, which turned out to be apocryphal, but it was a news headline about two old men escape from a care home and go to a metal festival, which I thought was great. Yeah. It turned out, I did some digging around, it turned out not to be true, but I thought, what a lovely idea for a nice little buddy movie, yeah, escape, feel good, load of nonsense.
Yeah. Did you have to pay them royalties?
Nah, not for reading a news item that isn't true. Hello, can I pay you, please, for a news item that you made up?
Maybe it was a work of fiction. Maybe they did copyright it, yeah, and it's like a story.
So basically, it's loosely based on a nearly true story.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
What kind of music did you grow up on, John?
Well, you know, I did have my metalhead phase in the 80s. So
who are we talking about?
Okay, now? Well, a lot of it was like pop metal. Quiet Riot, yeah. Iron Maiden.
Come on, feel the noise.
Thank you. He has never heard of Quiet Riot.
No,
he's never made it across the pond. Motley Crue was my favorite. Twisted Sister. But then Wasp, Rat. Helix, the Canadian. So I grew up with that music, but then I went on another phase.
Give me an R, R, O, O, C, C, K, K, what you got?
Rock.
And what you gonna do?
Rock you.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Look, I got goosebumps.
And I...
Yeah. I'd love to think you just improvised that.
No, it really was that good the first time.
Oh, yeah.
And we had, in Canada, we had Good Rockin' Tonight.
Yeah.
And then we had Friday Night Videos, if you're old enough.
Terry David Mulligan.
Yeah. Was there Friday Night Videos? Is that what it was called?
What was that? Okay, I know there was Video Hits with Samantha Taylor, which didn't really play the metal. No. But Good Rockin' Tonight
with
Terry Gavin Mulligan, then Stu Jeffries,
who is from Winnipeg and went to school with my sisters, and his name originally was Jeff Weinberg.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, wow. So Stu Jeffries is, I guess, a rock name, and Jeff Weinberg isn't. Who knew?
Who knew, eh? Yeah, I grew up on all that. I went through different phases. I went through, like, a Corey Hart Glass Tiger phase.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then I went through...
I wear my sunglasses at night.
Right? And then I went through a rap phase. So late 80s was all hip-hop, wow, rap. And then I just did a 180 to musical theater, Phantom of the Opera, Ani DiFranco, Bare Naked Ladies. So I just sort of, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Music is music, right?
Music's music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's like Stan Rogers and Orville Peck.
And, of course, a little bit of, you know, I had a dream. I dreamed it for you, baby.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was raised on musical theater because my mom was... there was a place in Winnipeg called the Hollow Mug, and they used to do, for sure. You're not from here.
I am from here. I'm from St. Patel, and the Hollow Mug turned into Celebrations Dinner Theater, which I worked at for like 9 years.
The Hollow Mug was like a review. They would do like, I don't know, like an hour of songs from the boyfriend, yeah, or whatever.
For sure.
And actually, when my mom was pregnant with me, they did Hello Dolly at the Hall of Mugs. So
great.
That's so I was, you know, I was kind of, because that was I wasn't going to be able to escape it, right?
Yeah, that was International Inn, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And then they turned to Celebrations, and then Celebrations moved, and then they closed down, unfortunately. But yeah.
Yeah, isn't there still times. Jubilations in Edmonton?
There's still Jubilations in Edmonton and Calgary. I haven't worked there for, gosh, a good number of years, but yeah, I spent my young improv years at the Dinner Theater and here in Winnipeg, for sure. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, the parties.
Is there music in your show?
Well, I'm going to let Rob talk because I've been hogging the mic.
Well, that's all right. Yes.
All right.
No, there's all sorts of bits and pieces. Yeah, we're trying to have a little bit of something for everyone, you know. So
you talk into the mic,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, hello, right. Get
you
off.
Can scratch
right,
your head from anywhere, man.
Yeah.
Well, I told him. First thing I told him, talk into your mic.
So yeah, so that was my contribution. I thought it went well.
So yeah, there's little bits of music like that set each scene. So there's like maybe 4 bars, maybe 8 bars of, you know, we got Rush, we got Toxicity from System of a Down, we got Ozzy, Crazy Train, we got Run to the Hills, right? So it's just little bits. We got Metallica, right? And if you're a real metal, if you're a full-on metalhead, you can recognize some of those, especially, of course, Run to the Hills or Crazy Train. But yeah.
We also had a lot of fun inventing fictitious metal band names as well. Because, you know, we do like those band names, you know, like Oozing Wound and stuff like that.
There's one that I've been trying to give away and nobody's taken it yet. It's Jelly Fist.
Oh.
Think about it. You can have it if you want it someday.
Yeah,
if you want it
it's
someday.
Great. I'm not going to tell you what image my mind's coming up with, but I'd go for that. Yeah. Jelly Fist. It's sort of...
Aww.
On the surface,
it's quite... I picture a jellyfish.
No, that's not what I see at all, yeah.
Well, it has to sound like something else and be something worse.
Right, yeah. For sure. Right?
That's how it goes. It's funny to me how, you know, you look up... I'm super ADHD, and I'm always on Wikipedia looking stuff up, and I'll be like... And I don't remember. Like, I'll open my phone and open Safari, and I'll be like... The last thing on my phone will be... I was looking up who the king of Bulgaria was, you know, and I'm not really sure why.
Like, why did I do that? Yeah.
But it's funny when you look up these old rock and metal acts and how, you know, it shows when they were active until... And they broke up at this point, and then 10 years later they got back together because they realized nobody wanted to hear anything else they had to say, and they just turned into these nostalgia acts, and they're all like 75.
That's great. That's perfect.
Yeah. It's like when the Sex Pistols reformed and there's all these like old people on the park reminiscing about the time that there was no future.
That's so sad. That's cute. Oh, it's sad. Rob, you have worked as an orderly in various places, right?
Well, I was a registered nurse.
Sorry, that's all right.
I don't get precious about my job. No, I was a mental health nurse for years. Not in that kind of, not in a care home kind of environment, though. More like on what we used to call acute psychiatry, so adult mental health, you know. So it's not informed this show in any way whatsoever.
Well, it kind of has. No,
I suppose
mean,
the
like,
morality of it has, hasn't yeah. it? Yeah, there is a sort of message which about the fact it's really about discovering you still have plenty to offer, you know, no matter how old you are or what if. You know, whatever's going on in your life. And I think we all have something to offer.
Yeah.
And something to bring to the table. So there is a bit about people having value, you know, even if they're decades after retirement.
And there's a comment
like
on...
Like Joe Biden.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
there's a comment on the state of long-term care homes. Just anything political, I'm just like, no, I'm not even going to go there. There's a comment in our show about state of care homes and the care home that Cyril and Neville live in is just absolute crap. And
yeah, we didn't pick it. In fact, sometimes when we have, now and again, you'll get staff from the care sector come to the show and I always say sorry at the start because it's not the most progressive interpretation of the care home environment, really.
No, but I mean,
we've made it arch, but
yeah,
quite,
but
quite
there are care
so.
Homes
yeah.
like that
yes,
that
there
need
are.
A lot
yeah.
of increased funding. My mom was in a care home, and there were moments I was just like, man, they could do so much better. And I like the message that we're sending. There's an underlying little message in our show that Rob wrote that you're very welcome. basically, it's sort of a comment on how care homes are and how we need to put more funding into them and how people who might be in a dementia ward need more help. And yeah, I like that message that you've written.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's, I think at the same time, because I'd written a show that was a whodunit set on an Alzheimer's ward, which had exactly the same messages. That was like Clue meets Memento. And that was saying the same things. But it wasn't the happiest show in the world, whereas this show's a party.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this show, sure. You know, we are saying these things and we're entertaining as well. So it's that bit of, you know, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, doesn't it? So it's a big old party, but we also have plenty to say about it.
What is your experience with dementia?
As a nurse, I spent a year in Australia working on the bank, which meant I'd float from hospital to hospital, like the equivalent of a substitute teacher, you know, as a nurse. And I worked in a lot of elderly environments there. But generally as a nurse, my experience is mainly adult mental health. But there was quite a thing that resonated when I was in Australia. This is years ago, I was in my early 20s. I just qualified as a nurse. And it was quite a nice elderly ward. You know, it's for people with late stage dementia. And it was quite progressive, except there was one patient that a lot of the more middle aged staff were horrible to. You know, not in a way that you would report them, just more sort of intangible. There was an absence of compassion with this one particular patient, which was noticeable because they were really nice to all the other patients. And after I did a few shifts, I sort of plucked up the courage and I said, look, I hope you don't mind me asking, but what is the key with this? You've got it in for this one particular old bloke. What's the story? And it turned out that this patient used to be a particularly sadistic ward manager in charge of a dementia ward.
Oh.
And now his turn had come and he was on a dementia ward as a patient. And a lot of the...
That's like a good Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah, a lot of the middle-aged staff had worked under him and remembered how vicious he was, you know. And it was really the moral ambiguities of that got me thinking because... That's all well and good, but I thought, well, it's a shame that none of them had the courage to stand up to him while he was actually doing the things he was doing, you know, and until he retired on a full pension. And when this comes back to my experience of elderly care. When I was a student nurse, I worked on a really dodgy elderly, what they called a challenging behaviour ward. So this is a ward with ex-professional boxers and people that were quite aggressive and really terrible staffing levels. It's just awful. But I left after reporting what I saw, and that took quite a bit of courage at the time because I was only a teenager back then.
Yeah.
And I was ostracized after reporting, but I thought if it was my grandma there, I'd you know, there's no way I'd have that. And so I suppose this is all fed into AWOL a little bit, except you wouldn't get a sense of it from the script because it's too busy being happy. But that, but the message that John's talking about, yeah. it all sort of percolates in from this sort of the injustice of how people are treated when they get old. Yeah. And it's not blaming anyone for it because it's a hard job working in that environment. You know.
But I guess in society in general, you know, sorry, John, about the politics, but unless you're running for president, in general, we want to shut those people off, right? We don't want to, you know, they're not productive. They're a drag. And my mom has not dementia, but in that same family of things, and she's 94. Mm. I couldn't spend, you know, 8 hours a day with her, like,
which I did with my mom.
It's terrible.
Yeah, I was her care partner for a while, and when she was mid stage dementia, so. When Rob wrote the script, but we would sort of sit down together and I would sort of offer my, dramaturgy with that in mind to make sure that we weren't just sort of quote unquote making fun of old people, that we had to make sure that, you know, we knew where they were coming from. And I think we're both in a good position to have that knowledge. We're on the doorstep of being old ourselves. So there you go.
There's loads of dementia based jokes in it, but they all come from a place of love.
Yeah, for sure.
Do old people ever come see the show?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
It's Fringe. Yeah. The average age of Fringe is 70 anyway.
We do a little survey before the show, and we ask how many people are senior citizens, and people go, woo. And then we see how many people are metalheads, and then we go, woo.
Yeah, and it's nice that the show gets those two different demographics. Although I suppose your first wave metalhead, you know, your people who grew up on Black Sabbath and King Crimson and Judas Priest and all that, a lot of them are now retiring. So they're a great demographic. They tick both those boxes, you know.
For sure. Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, it's, you know, I'm 54, and that stuff was around, you know, for years and years. Like my brother was 15 years older than me, and when he left home, he left some records, and we had this big console turntable, and I would just listen to whatever stuff he left, I guess.
Fantastic.
And I would listen to Nobody Gonna Take My Car, I'm Gonna Race It to the Ground, and you know, stuff like that. That was, I mean, what is that, 1970 or something?
Well, it's going back, isn't it?
So for sure, some of these old metalheads are in their 70s.
It was the 80s before I started listening to that heavy metal, but for sure. Yeah. I was more into the hair stuff, as we talked about, the hair metal. Poison.
Yeah, we had different. So the metal I was into is all the kind of music that made you want to punch strangers in the face. You know, it was like Slayer, and all that. The kind of really thrashy stuff as well.
How many strangers have you punched in the face?
Oh, no, absolutely not. It actually leaves me. There's something about the kind of music for me. There's something about, and I think it's why I love stuff like psychobilly as well. That there's something about the kind of music that what makes you want to punch strangers in the face makes me chill out. I find it really calming, and it just earths me and grounds me. My other half hates it. She likes Justin Bieber, so I've got
I'm sorry, how old is she?
Yeah, I'll give you a while to process that. This you know, it's not a deal breaker, but it's an issue. So sometimes if I do pay something a bit on the nastier side, she has to go out for a walk. You know, calm down. But I find it very earthy.
This is why they invented AirPods, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, we have our warm-up song, which we didn't do yesterday, Toxicity, System of a Down. So that's fairly new. I don't know if you do want to play it, but it's definitely hard. But
no, play it.
It's such a good song. Any song in 3/4 time, in my opinion, is a good song. And this is like a metal song in 3/4 time.
The percussion is great as well.
The percussion is great. It's just a great song.
3/4 time, what are you, some kind of musicologist?
Yeah, I went to musical theater school, and I had to. They made me study music theory, which I was pretty terrible at. But a lot of it has sunk into my brain, and I do, yeah.
Where did you go to musical theater school?
McEwen University in Edmonton.
And do you have a degree in that?
I've musical theater degree. Well, a diploma, actually, if you want to get technical.
I have half a theater degree from the University of Winnipeg.
Oh.
Do you know what you get with half a theater degree? The same thing as you get with a full theater degree.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Just hey, so someone put on your resume, went to University of Winnipeg. Yeah.
I did. I mean, you know, I did put it on resumes back in the day when I was doing resumes before I realized that I couldn't work for anybody.
You know, I went to U of W too when I was very young, but I didn't last because I was going to take theater. But yeah. Then they also made me take astronomy, or maybe I took astronomy. And my high school, Glenlawn Collegiate, burnt down one day. And instead of going to university, I went to Glenlawn Collegiate to go, oh my gosh, my school is burning down. And then I never went back to university. I just never went back. It was so dumb.
So just like you've got like severe ADHD? Or
I don't know what I was, oh man. I was a different person. Well, maybe I wasn't. But I was like, yeah, oh, I'm going to go to university. And got all the, you know, did the whole thing and everything and lasted a week. So yeah.
Well, I actually was in, when I first went to university, I was in the faculty of education because I knew someone who'd graduated before me. Who was another theater person, and she was getting her education degree so that she could teach, you know, drama, English, whatever. So I went in, and one of our profs said, now I want you to think about this. You know, education is a very serious thing. Teaching is a very serious business. And if you're not going to, once you're done, if you're not going to teach for at least 5 years, I want you to drop out of this course by the end of the year. And I dropped out of the course by the end of the week. I was just like, I don't want to be a teacher because it didn't really, because then I'm thinking, well, I'm going to have to go and like do a student teaching thing. And then I kind of remembered I didn't like kids. And there were a bunch of different, problems. When did you stop working as a nurse, Rob?
Oh, years ago. So I left around about 2006 and then. But I went back to nursing when COVID happened,
okay.
You know, because they were desperate for people. And obviously, my diary emptied, you know. So, and that was really stressful. It was difficult because I was in mental health. We never used to wear uniforms as nurses. You had a lanyard, but you never had uniforms. Yeah. And so it's all gone a bit regressive at home that mental health nurses wear uniforms again, which is a terrible idea for reasons I'll eventually document in essay form. But they do. And so for the first time in my life, I'm in a nursing tunic, which doesn't make me look like a nurse. It looks like I've nicked it. I mean, obviously, your viewers can't see me, but if you imagine Nosferatu trying to sell a raspberry ripple, that was sort of the angle that went. And that was really stressful. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the clinical side of things, but it's. Oh, I thought I was going back for 6 weeks to help out. And Leicester, where I live,
the
in
same
UK,
6 weeks know. That we thought we were all going to go.
Yeah, that's
stay
right.
Home for yeah, right.
And my hometown of Leicester, lovely Leicester, was in lockdown longer than any other British city. We were in lockdown for 13 months.
Jeez.
And it was just crackers.
Yeah. So do you have another fringe show in there somewhere?
No. No, that's good. No, I've already got
but
three shows.
You do have another show
health,
at the Fringe, Rob G.
Oh, Johnny P. Thank you very much. Shall I tell you about it?
What's it called?
Oh, thank you for asking. It's called Verbal Tapas. So basically, by trade, I'm what can best be described as a stand-up poet, which is like stand-up comedy, but it rhymes and there's no jokes in it.
It's not funny, yeah.
Oh, no, it's funny. It's both kinds of funny. But there's no jokes, because jokes aren't that funny, really.
No, they're not.
So basically what happens with Verbal Tapas, the audience get a menu of poems all written by me, and the running order and choice of poems, people just shout out the title of the poem they want to hear, and I do that.
Nice.
So I've had to learn about 3 hours worth of poems to do it. So I've been walking up and down Portage, mumbling for the last few days.
Yeah, fit right
blending
in.
You're not the only one.
Yeah. It's been all right. Yeah.
Probably the only one with your pants on. But
Well, you say that.
Oh, no. Yeah,
No. No, I went all method.
And then AWOL is happening. Oh, you sent it to me, but tell me.
Yeah, King's Head Pub is the location. We have a show tomorrow. What time is the show tomorrow, Bob G? Do you know off the top of your head?
I'm going to guess at 5 o'clock, but you were just about to say, if you don't know, don't guess. I'm afraid I don't know.
It's tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Oh, you are right.
Back of the net.
And then pretty much every day, except for next Wednesday, every day we have a show. Kingshead Pub. And times vary from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. But yeah, you can get tickets at, and I'm going to say this, and you might go, what? But you can actually get tickets to our show at winnipegfringe.ca. And you're thinking, wait, winnipegfringe.ca? I bought the domain winnipegfringe.ca.
Come on, you did not.
What a wrong'un. What a wrong'un.
I know. If you go to winnipegfringe.ca, you go straight to our ticket page.
What's their?
Winnipegfringe.com is Winnipeg Fringe.
And they didn't buy the .ca? Amateurs. It's like $15
I know exactly.
Like,
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So if you go to winnipegfringe.ca, you'll get straight to our ticket site.
Please tell me you tried to sell it to them for $25,000.
No, I never did, and they never offered it. And I've had it for like 8 years or something. I also bought saskatoonfringe.org. Why not?
Oh, that's amazing. Do you own any websites, Rob G?
Only robg.co.uk, and I'm quite unambitious with all of that. I did for a period of time buy comedyforschools.com, which went very well for a period of time.
Well, thank you both so much for coming. We're gonna play us out with what did we decide? Toxicity,
System of a Down. Why not?
Yeah, let's do that. And the shows are AWOL and Verbal Tapas, happening every day from today until Sunday. Pretty much, you can go to one of those. Any shows that you want to see, either of you?
Well, I've already seen Rat Academy, but I'm going to recommend Rat Academy here in Winnipeg. I saw it in Edmonton last year, and that is just slaying all over the fringe. Martin Dockery's got a new show called Truth, which is always really good. I heard about this drum show at the Planetarium? So that's good. I'm excited. Oh, 7 Minutes and Kevin is a great show. Kevin Galise. Of course, Escape from Winnipeg. Yeah. My buddy Rod. There's so many. Women's Guide to Peeing Outside, I can recommend. So, yeah.
Rob G.
Yeah, Jimmy Hogg has got the Potato King. It's a fellow Brit doing stand up. And Jimmy's at the peak of his game, I think, at the moment.
Oh, Erica the Red.
Erica the Red is sharing our venue, the King's Head. That's a monster theatre show. Directed by Ryan Gladstone, who directed AWOL as well, with the marvelous Tara Travis in it being great. Oh, there's loads.
Amazing. That is great. And we've got lots more of these folks that you've mentioned and more that are going to be on the radio here tomorrow. 4 to 6, we're going to have a bunch of people that I forgot to put their last names down. So Paris, Margot, Carol, Adam, Bailey, Laren something, Jillian something, bunch of people, and Saturday and all these other days. So tune in for that. And thank you so much, AWOL and Verbal Tapas, all Rob G all the time, and side of John Patterson. Woo! Thank you both so much.
Best side.
Thank you.
We're going to listen to this is Toxicity, System of a Down. Thanks for listening to CKUW. Art will save us all.
Looking at life through the eyes of a tire hub.